We expect surprises with Christmas, but our next guest got a very rude one. Bob Russell is the owner of the historic Butte Creek Mill in Eagle Point, or was. Early on Christmas morning, the mill caught fire. You can imagine what happens when a building built in 1872 catches fire. It went completely up in flames. Let's talk about the past and the future of the mill. Bob Russell is not only the owner of the mill, but also the mayor of Eagle Point. Been busy in the 10 years that he's spent there. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange, Bob.
Great to be here. Thanks very much, Jeff.
So how long had the mill been there?
Well, the mill was built in it was opened in 1872, so they were working on it in 1870, 1871, and all hand-hewn timbers and all built with local materials, of course, because that's they didn't have a lumber yard to go to.
Not off-the-shelf stuff, in other words.
Not off-the-shelf.
Uh-huh. So how did it keep going? This is the last operating,
mill that still sells flour, and we're the last one west of the Mississippi, I should say. And so it has been continuously operating for 144 years until Christmas Day.
How did it keep going in a modern world?
Well, barely, frankly. My wife and I bought the mill in 2005, and it took us many, many years to kind of gussy it up a bit, do some landscaping, open up an antique store, try to make it a little more alive and a little more welcoming to visitors, and got that off the ground. So we depended a lot on tourists and local people in selling things in our general store.
Was it something of a leap of faith to buy it in the first place?
Oh, big time leap of faith. At some point during that process, the due diligence, anybody with half a brain would have walked away. But I just fell in love with it, and I figured, hey, it's been here for 140 plus years. There must be a way to make it work. So we were constantly trying to make it work.
So there must have been days when you wondered what in God's name you'd gotten yourself into.
Well, not me so much. My wife was more or less that way, but she looked like a deer with headlights in her face most of the time. But, you know, as time went by and we signed the dotted line and opened in June of 2005, it was evident that it was going to be a lot of fun, and it has been.
Is it pretty easy to run for mayor of Eagle Point when you own the Butte Creek Mill?
Well, that's debatable. I'm sure there's some people that would disagree with that. But, yeah, it really is, because I think the community welcomed us like we've been there for a long, long time. And it just felt right to us from the day we got there.
So talk about Christmas morning. You recited the exact time to me just a few moments before we got on the air.
Yeah. It was, you know, when you're in retail like we are, we work our tails off 12, 15 hours a day for the whole month of December, because we do about 30% of our business just in December with gift boxes and such. So that Christmas Day is something you look forward to like no other day of the year, because the mill is closed, we can relax, and maybe take some time off as the year goes by. So we get back Christmas Eve from working at the mill all day, lock up, have a nice dinner, and go to bed knowing that we can sleep in and have an easy day. And then at 4:14 a.m., I heard my phone ring, and I thought, that's odd. So I got up, and by the time I got there, I had missed the call, and the recording said, this is your SOS alarm company, and we have an alarm going off. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe there was a bat flying around in there or something. And so I put my slippers on and a light jacket, went downstairs, and right out my front window, I could see the whole front was engulfed in fire and just about fell to my knees.
And I can imagine, given we're talking 140-year-plus old timbers, this is quite a flammable structure.
Yes, and that's always been in the back of my mind, fire, and we've been very vigilant about making sure that wiring was just right, and we were just very, very careful, and so it's quite a mystery. But it is what it is. It's gone.
Okay, so and then this as was part of a rough year. Sorry to bring this up too, but it's right there in the background. You had just lost your wife, what, 3 months before?
Yeah, just September 20th. Debbie and I have been married for 41 years, and she was diagnosed earlier last year with lung cancer, and so we fought the fight, and she left us in September.
Given all that, was there some question on Christmas morning and the days beyond about what the next steps would be for you?
Well, the next steps have always been that I wanted to be part of the mill. I'm 65 years old, and I could see myself settling into the sunset sometime in my 70s and maybe passing the baton in some way, shape, or form. But every day I walked in that door, I felt like it was part of me and part of the community, and I always felt good.
Bob Russell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the owner of the historic Butte Creek Mill in Eagle Point, and also the mayor of Eagle Point. The Butte Creek Mill burned down on Christmas Day. We also have with us on the line now Ashley Lara from Jackson County Fire District 3, which is the responsible agency for fire suppression and for fire investigation as well. Ashley, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you for having me this morning.
You bet. So bring us up to date. What do we know now about the cause of the Butte Creek Mill fire?
Right. So I'm sure Bob filled you in with some of the activities that we've been doing, but really these last couple of weeks have been really just making sure that the building's structurally sound enough for us to actually even get in to do an investigation. So on Monday, we had Claudio Alvarez Construction out on site with a number of workers taking down some beams and some other hazards from the second story, especially. Just making sure that it's safe to go in and enter and really start to conduct an investigation. We're hoping to actually start the digging process today, and we're doing that really as a partnership with the insurance agencies and the Oregon State Police. So we're all going to go in together and try to formulate a plan that way.
So that was quite a pile of stuff, it sounds like, that was there after the fire.
Absolutely. And, you know, Bob may have shared some things were really affected by the fire and some other things were kind of like little treasures when he was able to go in, and they weren't as tarnished as some of the other things. And so many amazing memories and things. I've learned so much even with me being out there. It's been a really neat process for such a tragic event. But, lots of different historical items out there.
So talk about that, Bob. What kind of things were being found out there, have been found out there?
Well, first of all, I have to thank the fire people at District 3 and Ashley and the group. They could not have been, I mean, they are just heroes in my view. They've helped me protect what is possible to bring out of there and restore. We were able to get some old cast iron coffee grinders. I had a couple little treasures like a gold nugget that we were able to find in the debris. Of course, lots of tragic things as you're going through the debris. I had a library of probably 1,500 books and a lot of paper stuff that is just gone, just can't be fixed. But finding my dad's samurai sword he brought back from World War II was a real neat thing to find.
Wow, that's some cool stuff. So what actually burned and what didn't? Because some of the other structures nearby were not affected. Were
yeah, they? Well, the mill itself totally burned. Now, the lower level, there was so much water being poured on the mill that I think the stairway going upstairs kind of acted like a chimney. And so the lower level was in relatively good shape, certainly wet, certainly smoky, but we were able to salvage, for instance, a conference table in the lower level. And quite surprising, some of the things in that lower level, such as I had two candelabras with candles on it on that table. The candles melted a little bit, but that was about it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, most of the really good stuff was up in the store in the upper levels, but every one of those things that we've been able to save are things that eventually I'd like to reincorporate into the mill if we're able to rebuild.
When I think about the kind of equipment that a place would have to try to help with fire suppression, things like sprinklers, I can imagine also you run into the issue of this being on the National Register of Historic Places.
Yeah, that was always a problem for us because most of the mill is not heated. Well, you start getting into sprinkler systems and things freeze, so it gets very expensive. When I first bought the mill, I think we had an estimate of $160,000 to sprinkle the mill, and it just... In a business that doesn't really pay for itself, it was difficult to come up with that sort of thing. So we just erred on the side of being very vigilant.
So, I mean, had it been generally a money-losing proposition, or were you just able to squeak by with the other stuff like the antique sales and things?
Well, yeah, kind of, yeah. We were able to pay our employees, never really able to pay ourselves. And that's fine. You know, we got along. Hey, we had all the spices we could have and pancake mix and all that, so it worked out great.
Well, so for folks who might not know the mill and know the region well enough to realize not a lot of wheat gets grown around here, where did this stuff come to be ground in the mill?
Well, we got our hard red wheat out of Three Forks, Montana. Really good stuff, a family we dealt with for 75 years or more. We got our soft white wheat out of the Klamath area, and we just always... The source is very important because you want the highest quality you could possibly get because that's the least expensive part of, for instance, a pancake mix is the is the wheat. So they grew wheat in the old days, and it just wasn't as good as what our quality is now that you can get out of Montana, because in cold climates it stresses the wheat and the protein levels go up and blah, blah, blah.
You've had to learn a lot about this. Did you know this much about wheat?
I didn't know a thing about mills when I bought the mill. I was in the copier business for 30 years.
Uh-huh. This is a bit of
but
a
I loved antiques, mm-hmm. and this was the ultimate antique to add to my collection.
It truly was. This is like a cast iron coffee grinder on a much, much, much larger scale.
Much, much. Yep.
Bob Russell's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, owner of the historic Butte Creek Mill in Eagle Point, was until it burned down on Christmas Day. We're talking about where to go now. Ashley Laura's with us as well. She's with Jackson County Fire District 3 and part of the investigating team there. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments about the mill and the history of it and the future of it as well. 800-838-3760, our phone number, 800-838-3760, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ashley, just in terms of a firefighting challenge, this must have been a big one.
Well, it's a big one for a number of reasons. Coming with a historic building, obviously the materials were older, much drier. But also in that same sense, having, 12 by 14 beams, those things hold up better than metal in fires, too. So we had the challenge of it being a large building, it being older, and just logistically trying to get the water on the building in the right areas was really important to us. And we had a lot of support. I got there on Christmas and there were five different engines there. We had a ladder truck from our department as well as from Medford. Lake Creek Rural Fire Department was there as well. So we had a lot of support. But when a structure like that is on fire, it burns really, really hot and quite quickly. And so some of the original photos, when we got them, there were 30 to 40 foot flame lengths in the air. So that in itself is pretty challenging.
And there have been some challenges, as you pointed out, investigating it, just getting the structure safe enough so you could go into it. So do you think today you'll actually be able to start focusing on approximately where the fire started and how?
Yeah, absolutely. The investigation process is definitely moving forward. I think more than anything, we really wanted to make sure that Bob was able to get his things out before, we've gotten all this rain and colder temperatures. So if there was anything that we could possibly get out, we wanted to be able to accommodate and get that out right away. But secondly, we really need to make sure it's safe before we go in. It's a two-story building, a third-story loft, and like Bob had said, there's a basement that, virtually, besides the smoke, it looked pretty good if you look at the top and then look at the bottom, it looked pretty fantastic. But then again, they had those larger beams, and Bob said it exactly how we've been describing it, that stairway up to the second floor was kind of a chimney, so the bottom was pretty much untouched. But there was some grain storage upstairs, and there were a lot of heavier beams that had been partially burned through. And so some of that more heavy material has gone through the floor, and we just need to make sure that it doesn't fall down when we're starting to conduct our investigation. Once that's in the clear, we'll be able to go in, like I said, and do that partnership with OSP and the insurance agents, and being able to really go in and start to look at different burn patterns and assess really where this fire started from.
So I understand that that from you, Bob, that there were quite a few people on the street that day. It sounds like half of Eagle Point was out on the street with tears in their
face. There were a couple hundred people with tears in their eyes, and I've never hugged so many people in my life. Just it was the center point of Eagle Point. It was a social center. It was a business center, and everybody there grew up around this mill, and it's to have it gone was quite a sock in the belly to a lot of these folks. But we've had people like Party Place, David and Beverly, brought out a 60 by 40 foot tent so we could stage some of the things we were able to save. Gene Abel, the architect, has been out. Eagle Point Hardware, Lowe's, Home Depot, Reed Murphy Construction, they're all been out there, and we've got a food chain and for workers and things like that as we're digging through the debris.
I've never seen so much support in an area, no matter how big the incident is or anything. And I've shared this with Bob. He's got the whole support of Eagle Point, which is just really nice to see. And virtually anything that we've needed has just kind of shown up. So we are so thankful for that.
That's amazing. And so it seemed like what I was reading in the first day or two after the fire, some doubts about moving ahead. But I've noticed that since then the website says we will rebuild.
Yeah, you know, that is my dream. I can stand in front of the hulk of what's left there, and I can see walking in that front door into a pure 1872 water-powered flour mill, and I would love to do it. There are so many issues with insurance and building codes and things like that, and that's where Gene Abel has come in and helped me with architectural stuff. But, yes, we would like to rebuild.
Insurance, I read, was somewhere around $400,000. Is that even close to what you're talking about here?
Not really. It had to go through Lloyd's of London because they're high-risk buildings. And so it was still, I think we had to pay $1,600, $1,700 a month for just basic fire insurance. So it was probably underinsured. And so we have to look at all those numbers now and see what we can come up with to figure out how to get this thing rebuilt.
Since it was on the National Register of Historic Places, does it have to be rebuilt the same way? Is that designation off now since that building no longer exists in that form?
Well, I've heard all kinds of things. If 30% of the structure is there, it can retain its National Register status. We think perhaps we will have 30% to attach a new building to. So we'll see. I have to get some smarter people than I am to sit down and around a table and go over these things. But, you know, it's just one more bump in the road. We'll just move forward until somebody says no.
Well, what an odyssey so far, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Sure has been. But it's been gratifying. I mean, our hands are black. We have filled over 100 yards of wood debris by hand, charred, yucky wood, broken glass, nails, just with volunteers. And same with metal, same with garbage. You can imagine the mess, the smell, all of that stuff. On one side of the building, they had to pull it down, which was my personal office, and I've been able to dig through the rubble pretty easily.
Hmm. Well, you got a lot of friends, though, huh?
Yeah, I sure do. It feels great. It really does.
Bob Russell is not only the mayor of Eagle Point, he's the owner of the historic Butte Creek Mill, which burned down on Christmas Day, and the website says we will rebuild. A lot of details still to be filled in, and we'll keep in touch and have you back here to talk about that as things emerge.
Thanks very much. Go to ButteCreekMill.com, and you can get updates on what's going on.
Okay, Bob Russell, thank you. Ashley Lahr from Jackson County Fire District 3, thank you for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you. Have a great morning.
You too.